Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Knowledge Realty Trust Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Senthil Kumar, Senior Vice President, Investor Relations, Knowledge Realty Trust. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Senthil.
Thank you, and good evening to everyone joining us today. On behalf of the management team, I would like to extend a warm welcome to all participants of Knowledge Realty Trust Q4 and FY 2026 earnings call. Before we proceed, a couple of important disclaimers. I would like to highlight that the management may make certain comments that may constitute forward-looking statements. Please be advised that our actual results may differ materially from these statements. KRT does not guarantee these statements or results and is not obliged to update them at any point of time. Joining me today on the call are Shirish Godbole, KRT CEO, Kaiser Parvez, our COO, and Neeraj Toshniwal, our CFO. We will start off with brief remarks on the macro environment, our business and financial performance, and then open the floor to questions. Over to you, Shirish.
Thank you, Senthil, and a very warm welcome to everyone joining us for our quarter four and FY 2026 earnings call. The year saw periods of heightened global uncertainty, from tariff-related disruptions to continuing geopolitical tensions in the Middle East. Despite these uncertainties, India's commercial office fundamentals continue to be remarkably resilient, with a record 90 million sq ft absorption projected in calendar year 2026. Global corporations continue to deepen their India presence, given India's talent depth, cost competitiveness, and long-term stability. GCCs were projected to generate over $100 billion in revenues by FY 2030. However, it is remarkable to note that this estimate has already been achieved 4 years in advance, with FY 2026 revenues reaching $98 billion. Coming to KRT, FY 2026 has been a defining year for us. Revenue for FY 2026 grew 16% year-on-year to approximately rupees 4,600 crores, while NOI grew 18% year-on-year to approximately 4,048 crores. During the year, KRT distributed 2,101.9 crores to its unit holders. Glad to report that distributions for FY 2026 exceeded projections outlined at the time of IPO, reflecting strong operating performance and disciplined cost management. KRT now ranks 197th by market cap in India and is the country's largest REIT with a market cap of over rupees 52,000 crores. In FY 2026, we were included in the FTSE All World and the FTSE Nareit Global REIT indices, important milestones that reflect increasing global investor recognition. Our unit holder base has also expanded by 2.4 times since listing and reflects growing participation across investor segments. Since listing in August 2025, KRT has delivered total returns of about 22%, outperforming broader markets. During the same period, the Nifty REITs and InvITs Index generated returns of around 10%, while the Nifty 50 delivered negative returns of around 5%. As we look ahead, KRT continues to have multiple visible growth levers. We have a sizable mark-to-market potential of 25%, supported by a well-phased lease expiry profile. On the development front, we commenced construction of a new 1.4 million sq ft block at Sattva Global City in Bangalore, over and above our existing under-construction portfolio of 1.2 million sq ft. We have a healthy ROFO pipeline of approximately 6.7 million sq ft, and we continue to actively evaluate value-accretive third-party acquisition opportunities across the markets. With that summary, I will now hand over to Kaiser for an update on our portfolio performance and operating highlights.
Thank you, Shirish, and good evening, everyone. Before I get into our performance, a quick word on the market backdrop. Post-record office absorption of 83 million sq ft in the calendar year 25, the momentum continued in the first quarter of calendar year 26 with 21 million sq ft of absorption. The outlook looks promising with projected absorption of a record 90 million sq ft in the calendar year 26 and a reaching 100 million sq ft by calendar year 28. Leading global technology companies are committing hundreds of billions of dollars towards AI infrastructure and talent development. Importantly, this investment cycle is flowing into India through GCC expansion, with global corporations setting up engineering hubs, AI research teams, cybersecurity operations, and data-centric functions. Effectively, AI is increasing the complexity and the value of work carried out of India, driving the demand for better, not less office space. We are seeing flight to quality in its might with a strong preference towards high-quality workspaces with a full suite of amenities. And having said that, there continues to be a lot of speculation on the extent of AI's impact on office demand. In that context, I would like to highlight how KRT's portfolio is AI resilient through three distinct themes. Number one is the GCC theme that we spoke about. Nearly 45% of our gross rentals come from GCC occupiers undertaking high quality, high value strategic work. Number two, the traditional IT services industry is going through a structural shift towards AI-led technology services model. Amidst this transformation, KRT stands well insulated given our exposure to the sector is negligible. And number three, 31% of our portfolio by value comprises of front office assets, which is driven by client-facing strategic functions and are relatively insulated from AI disruption. To correlate, I would like to highlight the strong performance of our central Mumbai front office portfolio. These assets represent some of India's finest business addresses occupied by global consulting firms, multinational corporates, as well as headquarters of major Indian conglomerates. Occupancy in this portfolio increased 10% year-on-year to nearly 90%. More importantly, rentals achieved for leasing during the year were 27% higher year-on-year. Now coming to KRT's performance highlights. In quarter four, we achieved gross leasing of 1.1 million square foot, taking cumulative leasing for the year to 3.5 million square foot and a portfolio occupancy to 92%. During the year, our in-place rents grew 7% and we achieved a strong leasing spread of 26%. Rents on FY26 new leasing were at a 5% premium to market rents, reinforcing our superior asset quality and embedded pricing power. As we have mentioned before, 87% of our FY26 leasing had annual escalations, creating a compounded embedded rental growth profile. 56% of our new leasing during the year came from existing occupiers. And also 44% of 1.8 million square foot of upcoming expiries in FY27 is already tied up at 31% spread. This is a strong endorsement of our portfolio quality and tenant satisfaction. Our SEZ exposure is low at 15%, limited to two of our business parks in Bangalore. During the quarter, we applied for SEZ demarcation for over 0.5 million square foot across the two parks. A key focus area for us continues to be hospitality-led service model. Accordingly, we continue to invest behind elevator service standards, tenant experience, food and beverage offerings, wellness initiatives, and campus infrastructure upgrades. For instance, we launched the paddle and the pickleball courts at One World Center and upgraded our landscaping and arrival experience in some of our Bengaluru and Mumbai assets. As part of our community building initiative, we have hosted the Hyderabad Literary Festival at Sattva Knowledge City, which saw a turnout of over 100,000 visitors. We also curated tenant engagement activities across our business parks, including flea markets, live music sessions, and interactive conversations with prominent personalities, further strengthening the workplace ecosystem and occupier experience. As we look ahead, our focus remains unchanged. Number one, driving occupancy across the portfolio and delivering superior tenant experience. And with that, I will now hand it over to Neeraj to walk you through the financial performance in more detail.
Thank you, Kaiser, and good evening, everyone. KRT delivered strong and consistent financial performance for FY26. Revenue grew 16% year-on-year to rupees 45772 million. NOI grew 18% year-on-year to rupees 40484 million. For Q4 FY26, revenue grew 12% year-on-year to rupees 11965 million. NOI increased 14% year-on-year to rupees 10533 million. Distribution for the quarter stood at rupees 1.62 per unit, that is NDCF of rupees 7166 million. 87% of the distribution for Q4 FY26 is tax exempt or tax deferred in the hands of unit holders. Cumulatively, post listing, KRT has distributed rupees 4.74 per unit across the three quarters of FY26, exceeding our IPO projections. On the balance sheet front, we continue to optimize our financing profile. During the year, we raised rupees 42,000 million at a blended cost of 7.3%. Overall, high cost debt replacement, rate renegotiation, and rate cuts reduced our cost of debt from 8.6% to 7.2% during the year. We will actively monitor the interest rate environment and calibrate our financing activities in line with market opportunities. With a strong balance sheet, low leverage, and healthy operating cash flows, KRT remains very well positioned to pursue future growth opportunities while continuing to deliver stable and predictable distributions. With that, I will now hand the call back to the moderator to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Deep Shah from 361 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions. First, on Sattva Global. So, within our portfolio, about 80% roughly occupied, 20% coming up for renewal next year, and you also announced a new project there, a new building there. So, if you could explain slightly in detail about what is that you are seeing in this vicinity of Bangalore, and what are your trends for this micro market? Because it's quite a sizable investment in a building which has otherwise seen less occupancy, so that would be very useful. And second, whilst I understand that there could be quarterly differences in share of dividends, it should be fair to assume that over the next year dividends would be say 3/4 of our share of distribution. Would that be a fair assumption? Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Hi Deep, this is Kaiser and I'll take your questions. The first one, which is on the Sattva Global City. Just to sort of highlight, the Sattva Global City occupancy currently is 81%. And the way we are approaching this asset is largely through repositioning the campus, through a fair bit of capex works, SEZ demarcation of a small portion of the area, We are in discussion with some educational institution and more so from a BTS kind of a of opportunities, you know, in terms of how we want to sort of approach this. Particularly the question of 1.4 million square foot of the development. The development is at the back of a combination of phased demand as well as a sort of speculative opportunity. So it is not completely a speculative opportunity. It's at the back of some phased demand and speculative opportunity. And we continue to feel very optimistic about this asset because we believe that this is one asset which is, you know, in the south of Bangalore and in that price point, which is a great attraction for educational institutions, for back office operations, for IT, ITS, who are looking for more campus-like establishments.
I'll answer the second question, yeah. Sendil here. Deep, you're right. Overall, going forward for FY27, the tax-efficient portion will be 3/4, somewhere like 75 to 78%. In Q4, if you saw, this was 87%. The dividend itself out of that was 61%, right? So as we move forward, the first year of distributions obviously had a very high dividend portion because we had opening retained profits and that helps the dividend, right? But overall also, because we've raised debt at the REIT level, that is further passed down to the SPVs as, you know, interest, higher interest cost loans. So that sort of gives us a slightly higher interest income at the REIT level. So that's where the interest income has gone up and proportionately the dividend has come down. But going forward, you see 75 to 78% as a steady state, you know, tax efficient distribution.
Fair. Sendil, very clear. Thanks so much for the answers. If I could just squeeze in one more, because you mentioned interest portion. Is there like a ballpark of fixed versus floating debt that we have in our mind? And do you think this is the right time to lock in fixed rate debt in anticipation of what's happening to interest rates? Some clarity here would be very useful. Thank you.
Yeah, Neeraj here. So I'll answer this question. So, you know, there's no defined quantum for fixed and floating, but we are closely monitoring the macroeconomic environment. And, you know, our approach is to be opportunistic. At the right time, we'll raise more fixed coupon debt to lock in the stability.
Sure, sir. I understand that. We would be interested to raise fixed debt also at the right price. Fair enough, sir. This is very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participants to ask a question. You may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Simone Sangvi from Prospero Tree. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please proceed.
So my first question is, what is the difference between the committed occupancy and the actual occupancy in both percentage as well as in absolute terms? And when that gap will narrow down? So like, because the rent is generated on the actual occupancy. So how much time does it take for the committed occupancy to convert to the actual occupancy?
I'll take that question. My name is Kaiser. Our committed occupancy is 92%. Our economic occupancy is 6 points down at 86%. The difference between committed occupancy is leases signed versus economic occupancy, you know, in terms of rents actually coming in. The third part of the question was that why such a difference? There will always be a structural difference of 3 to 4%. Between committed occupancy and economic occupancy, because you will keep signing leases. Those leases / occupiers will take time to do fit outs. They will take time to sort of use their rent-free period. In our particular case, because of the volume of the leasing, we have narrowed down on this margin from a 9-point difference in the earlier part of the year to a 6-point difference, because a lot of rent frees have been burning out and a lot of fit outs have been completed. And as we sort of speculate and as we look forward, we believe the 6-point difference in the subsequent quarters will be a 3 to 4-point difference.
Got it. But I've been tracking some other REITs as well, and their difference is about like 2 to 3%. So my question is that when we will be reaching that percentage level, because the last quarter also you had told us that the committed was 92% and the actual was 86%. So has there been any changes? And if you could state both of those in the absolute terms as well.
So the way we look at it, this I'll take the first question. In the last quarter, yes, we were at 92%, and we know in this quarter as well, we held steady at 92%. We have done our total leasing of 3.5 million square foot, but we also witnessed an exit of roughly about 700,000, which came in two of our assets. One is in Exora, which is in Bangalore, and a small part in 1BKC. Both these exits present a significant opportunity of a mark-to-market potential in our case, and we obviously have a million square foot of a pipeline to add to that. To your second question, when do we think this bridge should be narrowing down? We're quite hopeful that in the subsequent quarter, in the next two quarters, we should have this 6.2 or 2 to 3 point difference.
All right. Okay. Thank you. And my next question is that is there any guidance on the distribution? Like right now it's at around 5.3% approximately, while I've seen others offering more than 6% of distribution. So from REITs, we expect a 12 to 15% yield. So if the distribution is not reaching 6 to 7%, how do we expect to generate that much yield?
Hey, thanks for the question. Yeah, so in terms of guidance, we don't provide a guidance as a policy. But however, our company is only like 9 months old and the IPO and RHP documents are available. So the numbers for FY27 will pretty much keep that as the benchmark for it. And that is obviously, significantly higher than the DPU that we gave last year, right? So there is obviously much higher growth coming from multiple factors that Pfizer was laying out too, right? So there's both in terms of the occupancy ramp up, if you see we are at 92 and we are expecting to do 94 to 95 next year. So that is going to give up the bump. And then there's growth coming from the multiple under construction projects that we laid out, the highest MTM that we have, we mentioned. So all these growth parameters are going to obviously lead to higher NOI as well as NDCF during the next year. But that stays as the benchmark for the DPU that we gave during the IPO. And in terms of the numbers that you mentioned, 12 to 15%, yeah, the yield is expected to be in the range of around, 6 to 7% plus the price appreciation is the balance, which will make the total return 12 to 15%, not just the yield. And if you see, we've given price return significantly over the last year, right? So with that, I think it should be a combined 12 to 15%, yeah.
Correct. And my last question is that how much area will be under re-leasing in FY27 and what's the possibility for escalation?
Interesting question. On an average, we have about 1.5 million square foot, which sort of expires every year. Earlier part of our explanation, out of the 1.5 million square foot, 44% of the area has already been tied up for what's coming up in FY27. That being said, two important data points. Out of the 1.5 million square foot, which on an average, at least for the next 2 years, which expires, almost 3/4 of that area or value comes from Mumbai. Because Mumbai presents a significant mark-to-market opportunity because of two reasons. Because our historical rents are low, our marginal rents are significantly higher, and our leases are shorter. In addition to that, Hyderabad also has a massive mark-to-market potential, but seems lower from a lower lease term expiry. So while it has MTM, great MTM potential, but the realization may be lower because the expiries are less. And Bangalore is again a strong supplementary stable market for us. So Mumbai will account for roughly about 3/4 of the mark-to-market potential in the next 2 years.
Okay, and the possibility for escalation?
87% of the leases which we have done in FY26 is on annual escalations. We continue to believe that escalations will move in line with a 5%, which on an average 4.5 to 5%, which is pretty much the norm in the market.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Mohit Agarwal from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on delivering a very healthy DPU in FY26. My first question is, and this is just a clarification. Kaiser, you mentioned that 87% of incremental leases are annual escalations. What would be that as a percentage of the total portfolio right now?
I don't have that number, handy, but it'll be in the zip code of roughly about 40 to 45% of our leases will be on annual escalations.
Okay, and this will progressively increase as we incrementally increase the share. Okay, okay. My second question is actually on the, when I look at your GAV numbers, the asset-wise GAV numbers that you've disclosed. So for some of the assets in Bangalore, I see the year-on-year growth to be sub 5%. Look at Cessna or, Exora and all of that. So what's happening there in terms of, let's say, what are the assumptions? And if you could also maybe want to talk about a little bit about the assumptions in terms of, has there been changes to cap rates or WACC or the rental assumptions? Also a couple of assets in Mumbai as well. And the second part of that question is that for Hyderabad also, while the numbers look healthy, but, when I compare it to some of your peers in Hyderabad, they have reported much more steeper NAV growth on a year-on-year basis. So maybe you want to run through some of the assumptions that you've taken or some color on that.
Okay, so I'll just sort of divide the questions more between Senthil and I. I'll take Hyderabad first. You're absolutely right. Hyderabad is 99% occupied. It does have approximately about 41% mark-to-market potential. It has a great revenue, higher rent potential within the portfolio, but it just so happens most, and Hyderabad is also the epicenter of a lot of GCC activity, and those GCC activities at the back of long leases. So there are lower near-term expiries in Hyderabad, which in some ways not sort of helping us to kind of really get the MTM potential which is available in that market, because our historical in-place rents in Hyderabad is about 78, 79 rupees, where the marginal rents are in the zip code of 135, 140 rupees. And that's a big delta which we need to cover as and when the expiry comes. So this is one market slightly away. If there is a expiry and there's a vacation, it's a great news, right? It's a great opportunity, right? Senthil, over to you.
Yeah. Hi, Mohit. Hey, Senthil here. Mohit, in terms of the GAV growth, you're right. The overall, we had a growth of about 4.5% in GAV. And where it has come from, primarily it is the market rental growth, right? And again, like Kaiser was saying, it varies from city to city, right? So Hyderabad obviously saw a significant jump in rental. And as you know, the market has also gone through a huge positivity. And in terms of Bangalore, yes, the rates, the market rent for our assets, we've kept them flat. So if you see Cessna or Exora, there's been no change. Whereas Mumbai has gone through quite a bit of change because, as you know, the majority of our premium to market rentals are also coming from Mumbai. So Mumbai has seen a market rental uptick. So about 50 to 60% of our GAV movement is coming from the market rental movement, right? And secondly, about 30% is coming from the roll forward itself, right, over the last 6 months in terms of, slightly higher occupancies and other factors. And a small percentage is coming from the cap rate reductions. Only like 3-4 assets we changed some cap rates, which is like really like around 10% of the overall GAV movement. Does that answer your question?
Comparing it to others is subjective, right? You have to look at the assets on each portfolio and look at the appreciation during that time period in those assets. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Just clarifying, the carpet efficiency ratios, have they changed in the last 1 year?
So it has not changed from the valuations for what we considered the last time to now. But that being said, in Bangalore we have sort of reduced the efficiency for some of the new leases.
Understood. My last question is on your acquisition strategy, considering that you're a brand agnostic platform. Some of the office deals that we hear about are currently happening at, you know, in our view, really at steep cap rates. So in that context, how are you looking at acquisitions in the market, and also considering that interest rates have also now, you know, looking to go up. So how do you think about your acquisition strategy, and you know, some color on that would be helpful.
So we are quite active in the space, looking for opportunity which is a strategic fit to the portfolio. In fact, we are casting a net as wide as possible. There is barely an opportunity which we would not have evaluated, but you know, again, it is a cusp of what is a fit to the portfolio and also the price it sort of comes in. I would like to draw your attention on the fact that, you know, and particularly this may be slightly detour, but you know, the Blackstone, as one of the sponsors of the REIT, has acquired 200 million square foot in the last decade and so, right? So acquisition is something which we obviously have great finesse on, and we have massive coverage on, and hence we don't want to sort of be in a rush, but only chase opportunities which is a valuable and a great fit to the portfolio. That being said, we obviously have organic drivers within the portfolio in terms of our 25% M2M, in terms of our ROFO assets, in terms of our under construction, and the future development which is expected in the portfolio.
Sure, but do you find the valuations steep right now, or you know, are they fair?
The question is relative to the fact of where the asset is located and which market. Right, a one yield in Bangalore could be a very different way to sort of evaluate in what's in Hyderabad or perhaps perhaps in Mumbai.
But having said that, we have not made an acquisition, right? So that answers some of the discipline that we are trying to instill. So that answers some of that question, right?
Yeah. Thanks a lot. All the best, and those were my questions.
Mohit, just to add on to it, I guess the visibility on the ROFO pipeline, you see certain assets which are listed, but I think Image Tower, as you know, you have the background, is something which is getting completed somewhere like early mid next year, right? So that's a 1.6 million square feet occupied, sitting next to Knowledge City, which is completely 99% occupied. So Image Tower is seeing massive traction in terms of rentals and going at 140, 150. While it is not in the ROFO, I think that's probably the first asset which is going to come into the REIT. We will give you more updates, but at the same time, I think...
Well, first asset from the sponsors.
From the sponsors, yeah.
Coming into the...
Great, that's useful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Parvez Qazi from Nuvama Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rafa. Thanks for taking my question. So a couple of questions from my side. We have mentioned them, and we have done great as far as improving the portfolio of Mumbai assets as a whole. But one can also notice that between March 25 and March 26, the occupancy in our Bangalore assets, especially Cessna, Exora, Sattva Knowledge Court, has gone down. So what are, you know, our views on this? And Bangalore as a market is doing well, so does this present us with an opportunity to maybe get higher rentals when we release them? That's my first question.
Hey, Parvez, do you want to finish all the questions and we can take it one by one, or should we just go one by one? Whichever way you prefer.
Sure. My second question is, we have four different assets under construction, Spectrum, Endeavor, and then two buildings in Sattva Global City. So what are the timelines for their completion? And the third one is on the cash tax rate, and that kind of reduced QOQ in Q4. So just wanted to get some color on future cash tax rate. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll take the under construction question first, and then we'll follow it along. The under construction, 9.2 million square foot, actually split in two parts. 1.2 million square foot is under construction. Expected to be onboarded in the portfolio by Q2 of FY 26-27. It's in the final stages of the construction. We continue to be absolutely optimistic about the pre-leasing commitments and the pre-leasing status of these two assets.
Out of the remaining 8 million square foot in the Sattva Global City, 1.4 million square foot is a phased plus BTS opportunity development which we are looking at, and that's something which we will commence construction within this fiscal year. So that's on the under construction. That being said, just sort of talking about the occupancy statistics, you are right. Cessna and Exora, if you just look at Mumbai portfolio, if you just look at Bangalore, if I for a moment not consider GVTP and Exora, our occupancy is 91%. And that essentially means that these are the two assets which we need to focus on. And I'll cover each of these assets one by one. So GVTP is 81% occupied, and the vacant space is from the SEZ area, and that's something which we are demarcating in addition to obviously looking at BTS opportunities in the phase development. Within Exora, we have had an exit of an occupier which is to the tune of roughly about 450,000, and that's something which again presents a great mark-to-market opportunity because that was in the rents of about 70 to 75 rupees, whereas the market in Exora today is in the zip code of 95 to 100. So that's a great, you know, M2M opportunity Exora has presented. So Bangalore portfolio is a very stable portfolio, save and except leasing opportunities which has presented itself in Exora and GVTP. GVTP is a repositioning, you know, example, and Exora is an example of how we want to sort of compete with the leasing on the ORR stretch, and that's something which we feel very confident about. Followed by Cessna. Cessna is, you know, 94% occupied, also presents a 34% mark-to-market opportunity, but has a long lease of Cisco, and Cisco occupies roughly about 2.7 million square foot out of the 4.2 million square foot campus. And Cisco has very recently renewed their option of continuing with us. So while the mark-to-market opportunity is there, but may not be quickly realizable in the case of Cessna.
Just to add to that also, Pervez, is that Exora, if you really look at it, there were two things. One is, there's a client called Juniper. Globally, Juniper was acquired by HP in a very large deal. So that is one of the reasons why they have left. And I think there were a couple of gaming companies both in Mumbai as well as in Bangalore, which also added to about 2.5 lakh square foot of exits during this quarter, but very, very case specific. And like Kaiser rightly said, there's a huge MTM opportunity which has come because of this. That's the reason you see a transitory dip, but that's the opportunity that we've seen. And coming to your question on the tax. So tax overall, I think, in the next few years, the tax range is expected to be about 10 to 12% bracket on as a percentage of EBITDA.
Sure. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Tanvir Suri, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I had a quick question around PM Modi's announcement recently regarding work from home. Any signs or any hints from any of clients of taking this up and working from home, and how would that impact occupancy? Anything to anything of concern? And second question was around acquisitions, third party or sponsor. Anything that is in the pipeline right now?
Tanvir, I will take these questions. My name is Kaiser. I'll take the first question. You know, the recent advisory from Honorable Prime Minister Modi around work from home. Number one, it's an advisory, and number two, even if it, you know, in the larger geopolitical situation, even if it's comes true, we see this more as a timing issue than a structural issue, which means that if a work from home had to be reinstated and had to be sort of promulgated in few cities or in some parts of the country, it'll probably be a very temporary, very transient phenomena and may not really be structural, which can sort of impact the attractiveness of the office. That being said, my personal view is
that the work from home may not have a huge widespread adoption, perhaps during during the time as we may have seen in the pandemic era. With regards to your
acquisition,
with regards to your question on acquisition, as I sort of detailed out earlier, we have organic levers and we have inorganic levers. On the inorganic levers, we're casting a net as wide as possible, but we want to be sensible on what it costs and more importantly, how well does it fit to the portfolio. We have always been following the qualifiers of the fact that it needs to be in the right city, it has to be in the right submarket, and more importantly, it has to be a fit to the portfolio in terms of the kind of occupier or the building quality which adds to our portfolio.
And at the right price. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rishit Shah from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just one question. Can you throw some light about the pre-leasing at the two upcoming assets? Thanks.
Out of the 1.2 million square foot, we are in active discussion for Spectrum for roughly about 250,000 square foot of pre-leasing in that asset. That being said, I also want to highlight that in these two assets, we are very, very mindful of not breaking down the leasing into smaller denominations because that limits our possibility of leasing this to a larger anchor tenant, and hence at a pre-leasing stage, we want to ensure that we are able to, attract larger anchor tenants rather than breaking it down into smaller leasing denominations.
Sure, sir. And how are you looking at the rates over there?
The rates are more in the range, between both the assets. I'll probably give you a wider zip code. They are in the range of 60 to 75.
Fair enough. Thanks. Thank you for the answer.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sumit Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. My question would be on the Mumbai office market. Given that a lot of the expiries are sort of concentrated in Mumbai, what sort of RFPs or discussions you have presently in the market, especially in the front office sort of segment?
I'll take that question. Mumbai is really our core growth engine. And the reason why I say that, particularly if we look at the next 2 years for FY 26-27 and 27-28, roughly about 3.2 million square foot is expiring. On an average, 1.5 million square foot expiring every year. 77% of that mark-to-market potential, and that's roughly about 3/4 of the mark-to-market potential, actually comes from Mumbai. If I have to put it in value terms, roughly about 150 crores is the value of the future rent, and out of which roughly about 116 crore comes from Mumbai. So that's really the importance of Mumbai, from an MTM perspective. And that's also one of the reasons why we have seen strong momentum in the Mumbai market, where quarter on quarter, at least in this fiscal year, we have seen Mumbai occupancy swell by 500 bips. In the whole market today, we are closer to a 90% occupancy in Mumbai, and we are hopeful of achieving 92 to 93 in the next couple of months.
So any indicative number that you can give on what is in the pipeline and any number of RFPs that are floating around for especially front office corporate demand?
Mumbai is traditionally not a market where you have a lot of RFPs. Mumbai traditionally again has been a just-in-time kind of a market where occupiers need space and end up taking space in absolutely basis availability. There is not a whole lot of RFPs available in Mumbai if you compare it to what we see in Hyderabad and in Bengaluru. But that being said, there is roughly about a 1.5 million square foot of
organized RFP between a pharmaceutical company and a banking company which is available in Mumbai.
Sure. Okay. That's helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, to join the question queue, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, on behalf of Knowledge Reality Trust, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.